والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في الكتاب الحميد والفرقان المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، واذكر في الكتاب إبراهيم إنه كان صديقا نبيا. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى: سلام على إبراهيم، صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله. respected علماء, elders, brothers and dear friends, indeed it is through the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has given us this opportunity to witness one of the greatest days of the year, and that is the day of Arafah. Together with it is the day of Jumu'ah. It was when a Jewish man came to Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, when the ayah al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena, when this ayah was revealed in the plains of Arafat during Hajjatul Wada, around the time of Asar, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, today I have perfected and completed your deen. I have completed my bounties and favors upon you, and I am pleased with Islam as your religion. The Jewish man says to Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab, if this verse was revealed to us, we would have made the day of celebration. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala responds, he says, for us it is 2 days in one when it comes to celebration. The day of Arafah, the day when this ayah is revealed, today we can say it is the day of Arafah, and it is one of the greatest days, also the day of Jumu'ah. How fortunate are we? If you're looking at the 2 days, festive days, or the days where Muslims generally celebrate, and our celebration is not lahu wa la'ib, our celebration is in a manner that we now add certain actions and ibadat we increase, which is more than other days. One is the day of Fitr, Eid al-Fitr, but that takes place after the blessed month of Ramadan. The second one is Eid al-Adha, which is within the 10 days, the greatest 10 days. Now when we speak of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, the days of Hajj, everything to do is with Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam and his sacrifices. And Allah speaks of it in the Holy Quran. This is the reason for the sacrifices that he went through, and he was successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes him as Khalilullah, the friend of Allah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam often should refer to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam in many aspects and in many ways. One sitting with the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'een and explaining to them that during the night of Miraj, I met Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam in the seventh heaven. When questioned, can you now describe his physical features? He said, if you want to see Ibrahim alayhi salam, look at me. Now, if you take the sacrifices Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam went through, the first was his own dhat, his personal self. When now his father Azar, when now they go to the faith, and Hazrat Ibrahim refuses to go, and he says, Ana saqim, I am sick. And when they go on, he destroys all the idols, for Azar, his father was a sculptor. He would sculpt idols from rock, and he was amongst the greatest idol worshippers. We know what happened when he came back, and he questioned what happened to the idols. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam left the big idol in its place with the axe on its neck, and he says, ask the idol. Obviously, the idol is not going to speak. They knew it was Ibrahim alayhi salam. The punishment is there now. A great fire is made. قال أراغب أنت عن آلهتنا يا إبراهيم. Then Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was threatened by his own father, that why do you despise my gods, my idols? And if you persist on that, I will stone you. And in before you read or the punishment comes to you, you better leave. He was threatened. There was a curse. There's a very important lesson here. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, being the son, he was not rebellious in the sense with disobedience. He did not agree and accept what his father said. He went against his father, but with respect and honor. Today is a lesson here. Many a times, you know, many children, we don't want to go too deep into this, where they feel the parents now curse them. And remember, a parent's curse does fall the child upon the child. But when it is cursed for things that are contrary to Sharia, those curses cannot fall. If the child is right, the child is treading the correct path, he's doing the correct deed, and the parents are telling him to do something contrary to Sharia, against the laws of Allah, they can curse how much they want. That curse will never fall before the child. And yet parents threaten their children, I will curse you and I curse you. So what happens? A big, huge fire is made. So much so that they say the flames, the tip of it was kissing the skies. The people were encouraged. If you needed to sacrifice, you needed anything to take place, any wishes to be fulfilled, bring wood and now add fuel to the fire. So the greater the fire, the greater the punishment for Ibrahim. So huge is the fire that they cannot even go close. The heat was intense. They had to take a catapult, put Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam on it, and through the catapult, they flung him into the fire. Obviously, they cannot see such a huge fire. It is so hot, they can't go close by. Many of them, their faces turned black because of the smoke and so forth. And at one stage, they thought the fire is not extinguishing at all. And all of a sudden, when the fire dies down, you see Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam walks calmly out. And can you imagine what an effect it had on those people? They couldn't go close to the fire. The man that is flung into the fire walks out unscathed, unhurt, not burnt at all. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah is sufficient for me. He is the greatest of safety and security for me. Now, they don't know what to do. He decides, you know, there's two types of loneliness. One loneliness when you're all alone, you have no company. And the second loneliness is when you're amongst people and yet you cast aside. That loneliness is worse than when you're alone. So there's nobody with him. He passed this particular test. Yes, he had a handful. One was his nephew. One of his brother by the name of Haran. His son was Hazrat Lut alayhi salam. He now followed Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. And now they left Iraq. They migrated to Sham, a place known as Canaan. Now comes Ibrahim alayhi salam, he's old. He's 86 years of age. It's just him, his wife. And he says, Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Oh Allah, bless me of that child, that progeny, and those type of children that are salih, that are forbearing, that are patient. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ. Halim means bearing. There's glad tidings. For now, you will have a child, and he will be that forbearing and patient child. And who's that child? Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. And now he's told, from now Kanan, to go with his wife, Hajar. In Arabic it is Hajar. We say Hajira. To go with his wife and his son to Mecca, to a barren land at that time. So now the patience, what he went through in the fire, Allah accepted his request, blessed him with a son, a chaste, a patient, a pious son. Still suckling on his mother, they come to this barren land with very limited, whatever carry, whatever little food they brought it. It is not long after that the command comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Ibrahim, O my friend, O Khalil, leave this barren land, but you leave without your wife and your son and go back to Canaan. Can you imagine? The first test is in that. Now your partner, how are you going to now withstand and all the time think that I left my wife behind, who's most beloved to you, in this old age which you wanted some company, some peace of, you know, some source of comfort and peace, but leaving your wife alone without any food, without any necessities. There's no people, there's nothing there. Complete barren, harsh land, desert rock. He doesn't turn around. He doesn't go and make mashwara with his wife, Hazrat Hajar alayhi salam. Unless now she starts speaking a way where now, you know, the emotions might overcome the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he starts moving towards the direction of Sham. And Hazrat Hajar is saying, O Ibrahim, where are you leaving me? Where are you going? You're leaving me with your son. There's no response. He's not even looking back. Finally, being the wife of a beloved of Allah, the friend of Allah, she says, Allahu amaraka bihada. Is this the command of Allah, O Ibrahim? Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam responds without turning back, unless he sees the pitiful sight or what is, you know, the facial expression of his wife and his child. He might now somewhat want to change, you know, his intentions, or it affects his intentions. He gives an affirmative response. Yes, it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Immediately as he goes further, this is where Hazrat Hajar alayhi salam then says, Wallahi, idha la yughayyirna Allah. That if this is from Allah, Allah will never leave us destitute. No complaint. No complaint. She is alone with a baby that's still suckling, with limited resources, and that too is now coming to an end. As soon as Hazrat Ibrahim reaches a stage now where if he turns back, he cannot see his family, he makes the dua, Rabbana inni askantu min dhurriyati biwadin ghayri dhi dhar'in inda baytika al-muharram. Oh Allah, I have left my progeny in this barren land, near the Bayt al-Muharram. There was no Kaabatullah there, but the foundation, or there were certain signs that there was a Baytullah. Why? He says, Rabbana liyuqimu salah. Oh Allah, so that my progeny may establish salah. فَاجْعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ. And oh Allah, let those that come after Ya Allah, instill in them, in their hearts, the inclination towards my family. وَرْزُقُهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. And Allah, bless them with fruits. And look at this miracle and this dua of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Up till today, now go to Makkah al-Mukarrama. No matter which month, whether it is the lunar or the so-called our calendar month, and you will see every types of fruit, whether it's in season or not, you will find it in Makkah al-Mukarrama. So now, this is the second test. He had to leave his family behind. And imagine Hazrat Hajar alayhi salam, all alone with Ismail alayhi salam, this baby. Now comes the third test. He was tested in person. Now he was tested through his wife. Now comes the test through his child, and one and only at that time. فلما بلغ معه السعي قال يا بني. First, now he is commanded to return back to Mecca. Now that becomes Umm al-Qura, this barren land. Now when his son reaches that age wherein he can be of aid and assistance to his father. You see, Sa'a. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ. He reached the age where he can aid. Now if we go, وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. So what Allah says, that man, you will reap for whatever you have worked for. That means you have to work. So Hazrat Ismail reached that state where he can help and work with his father. You take Sa'i between Safa and Marwa. Generally, it is to run between the two hilltops, between Milain Akhdarain. What is the reason? Many people said for Hazrat Hajra, when she's looking for any vegetation, food or people or water, she was now running from Safa to Marwa when all her provisions was exhausted. So as coming down from Safa, she runs so that incline made easy, not necessary. Because when she came down where her son Ismail baby was, she couldn't see him. So she rushed to that point where now when she looks towards where she placed Ismail alayhi salam, she could see him. So it brought some ease and peace to her. So that running. So where he could run, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعِي. He tells his son now when he comes back, he's around 8-9 years old. Hazrat Ibrahim Khalilullah is around 94 to 96 years old. He says to his son, قَالَ يَا بُنَيْ. Oh my son, إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَهُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. I have seen in my dream that I am sacrificing. Is there a need for Hazrat Ibrahim, the messenger of Allah, to ask permission from his son Ismail, who's 8-9 years old? There's no need. It's a command of Allah. Why should he ask? Another very important lesson, that sometimes we take it for granted. Our children, we do not discuss with them. We do not ask them their feelings. We do not take mashwara from them, thinking I'm the parent, I'm the father, I'm the mother. What I say has to go. Sometimes you'll be surprised by the wisdom and what the children can teach me and you. We have to get to know their feelings. Make mashwara with your children. It's not that we rule with an iron fist. There should be open communication. Because there's no open communication between parent and child, that is why we lose our children. Because they don't find any comfort in us. We underestimate them. So they will look for recognition outside. And that recognition, most of the times, it is detrimental
to their future.
And what is the reason? Many reasons. That I am going to carry out the command, whether my son agrees or not. But how important is niyyah? If my son agrees, then can you imagine the reward he will attain? And it makes it easier for me then to carry out this task. Inni ara fil manami anni adhbahuka fanzur madha tara. What do you think, oh my son? What does he say? Qala ya abati fa'al ma tu'mar. No hesitation. Oh father, no, it was just a dream. Oh father, you're so old. I'm there to assist you. If you're going to sacrifice me, who's going to help you? Who's going to aid you? All these things. No. Immediately he says, oh my beloved father, carry out the command. He didn't say the dream, the command. So remember, when Anbiya alayhi salam received dreams, there were no ordinary dreams, they were commands from Allah. For Anbiya, once Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed Salatul Isha and he went to reside, he went to bed and he got up, he read his three rakats witr, and then Hazrat Bilal gave the adhan. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the Fajr Salah and Hazrat Bilal came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, maybe you're not aware, you forgot, you did not make wudu, you slept. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the prophets of Allah, their eyes close and never sleep, so their wudu never breaks. This is the condition of the prophets. So this dream is a command of Allah. قال يا أبت افعل ما تؤمر ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين. Oh my father, don't fear. I'm not going to resist. I'm not going to make your task difficult. إن شاء الله ستجدني إن شاء الله. For my father, إن شاء الله, Allah grant me the tawfiq, I will be amongst the patient. No arrogance. Not like today, me, I'm the greatest, or I'm the one that is correct. No, inshallah. We forget inshallah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدَى إِلَّا أَيَّ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. That do not ever say to anyone, definitely tomorrow this is going to happen. Always say, inshallah. Only Allah knows. We can give guarantee, but there's no guarantee. So, illa ayya sha Allah. So here he says, satajiduni insha'allahu min as-sabirin. You will insha'allah find me amongst the patient. Now, he's taken to the place of madbah where he's going to be sacrificed. Lengthy incident, time does not permit. Shaitan comes in three different forms. Jamratul Aqaba. In a big form, he blocks the pathway. And he says to Ibrahim, Khalilullah alayhi salam, as a father, can you ever sacrifice your own son? There's an angel there who says, take seven pebbles and pelt him. Bismillahi Allahu Akbar, he pelts Shaitan. The pathway is open. He goes further. Jamratul Wusta. Shaitan comes in a form slightly smaller. Now, you know, bringing the mother's compassion. If you're going to sacrifice your son, what is going to happen to your wife, the mother? You know, mother, her feelings and her love for her child. How are you going to answer to her? Again, seven pebbles. Bismillahi Allahu Akbar. Comes the third place, Jamratul Ula, and now he comes and he says, Ismail, innocent, small boy, what must he be thinking? Again, seven pebbles, Shaitan is pelted. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ. Now when they come to that place, the place of slaughter, and Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam places him down on the ground, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam removes his top and he says, "Father, please take it out. For if you're going to sacrifice me, most certainly there will be blood. My clothing will be soiled. And how are you going to use that? Keep my clean, you know, top after when the blood has this thing, wrap me in my kafan, and then you may bury me." And as he's placed down, now comes that vision where he saw that he is sacrificing his son. Hazrat Ibrahim Khalilullah places the knife on the throat of Ismail alayhi salam. Here already the man that is ordered to sacrifice and the one that he has to be sacrificed is also ready. And as the knife is now trying to be penetrated through the throat of Ismail alayhi salam, وَنَادَيْنَاهُ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ, comes the voice, "O Ibrahim, قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا, you have fulfilled your vision. إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ, for that what a great reward there is. Because in the dream, he didn't see probably the knife going through the neck of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, just that he's got the knife. Now he's fulfilled the dream. And this is a great test, Allah says. وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ, and now for that, the ransom was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a big, wide-eyed sheep in ransom for Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. And then Allah says, وَتَرَقْنَا عَلَيْهِ فِي الْآخِرِينَ, that such is this, that progenies to come will remember Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Look at the sacrifices he went through. Such was the sacrifices that all these are brought into our deen, deen Islam, reminding us of those sacrifices. And tomorrow is that great day, the second greatest day of the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, which is Eid al-Adha, where sacrifices are going to be taking place throughout the world. Just one note, alhamdulillah, we are in the forefront when it comes to this. Follow the etiquettes. Yearly, annually we hear how the slaughter and sacrificing takes place, which is, believe me, not correct. Many of us, it has become a sport. It's an ibadah. Learn the etiquettes. Do it the correct way. Let not the animals suffer. But together with it, we do make niyyah, where the nafil niyyah for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We make niyyah for sahaba. We make niyyah for the marhumeen. And obviously our wajib qurbani. How many of us made niyyah nafil for Hazrat Ibrahim and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam and Hazrat Hajar alayhi salam? Not many. And yet, qurbani commenced from the time of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam between Habil and Qabil. But this type of sacrificing comes from Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. That is where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Millata Ibrahim." So with this in mind, being the day of Arafah, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala accept all our ibadat. Accept our coming here. Accept our intentions that are good inshaAllah for tomorrow and the coming days. Allah accept all the sacrificing of all animals that are going to be taking place. Let it be a means of najat for us in the dunya, and let it be a means that these animals will aid and assist us to cross the sirat with ease inshaAllah. And the sacrifices of Ibrahim alayhi salam, let it be a lesson for me and you that what we're going through is nothing. We complain and complain. Look at the sacrifices and the tests that Allah put upon His beloved. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala reward them in abundance, and through their, you know, perseverance and their success when it came to the tests and trials, Allah make it easy for us. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillah.